Oh, God's good, isn't he? Man, I'll tell you, I'm so thankful for him. He changed and transformed my life, made it so good, you know? And before we start, let me just say this, that there's at least one person in here that you're gripped with fear in life. You're tormented by it. And say, well, how do you know to say that? Well, the Spirit of God just dropped it in my heart real heavy that, and the fear and the torment is for your future. You are just so afraid that things aren't going to work out, that things aren't going to be okay, and that life's not going to ever be good for you. And that's just a lie of the enemy. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. What that means is that when God becomes big and God becomes a part of your life, He is love, the Bible says. Well, that drives out fear. And if you're that person that's just, I mean, you're gripped with it. It's constant torment in your mind of fear. God has better for you. God has deliverance for you. He loves you. I used to be in that position, tormented and terrified. I was a young child, and this might seem humorous now, but I was a young child who would stay awake all night long because I was afraid my house would burn down or someone would break in. I was tormented as a young child. I look back now, and I see as it progressed into depression that almost took my life out, that it was the enemy after me at an early age. I had a good life growing up. There wasn't anything you could point to that would say that would be why. And I was tormented and terrified as a young boy. I hated to go to sleep. I hated to go anywhere. I was always afraid of everything. And God delivered me from that. God delivered me from the fear about the future. So if He's reading your mail right now and talking about you, He loves you. He's got a good plan for your life. Hallelujah. Deliverance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them. Oh, let's start in Matthew chapter 7. See, Jesus, the Bible, or God is perfect love. So when perfect love becomes big, fear gets cast out or driven out. Can't stay. Fear's not allowed to stay. Hallelujah. Perfect love casts out fear. So you just need more of the perfect love in your life. What do I mean? You need more God. You need more God. The more God, the less fear, the less torment, the less worry, the less stress and the anxiety. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Let's pray before we get in the Word. Father, we love You this morning. We glorify You. We thank You for what You've already done. Father, we could close down right now and say we were blessed. Well, Father, we thank You for Your mercy. Lord, Your Word is Your light. It's Your lamp unto our feet. It lights our path. Father, the Word is like a GPS. It takes us to the destinations we need to go to. It takes us to our salvation. It takes us to freedom from anxiety, fear, depression, stress, and worry. It takes us to freedom from poverty. It takes us to freedom from sickness. Father, we thank You for the Word. We are blessed because of the Word. So, Lord, speak through me this morning. There are so many different people here that have different needs and different circumstances in their life. And, Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd say something through me that would strike a chord in their heart, that, Father, would be exactly what they need to hear, Father, that only You would know to say. Father, I don't know what everybody's going through. I wouldn't even know what to say to be a comfort, Father, but You do. So I thank You, Father. We look to You. Hit bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. And, Father, when You do, it'll be a sign unto them that You're real, number one, but that You have a good plan for their life, number two. And number three, Father, that this is a place where they can hear from heaven on a consistent basis. Father, we give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get in the message, I'll just tell this little story. It kind of goes along with it. I fly not a whole lot, you know, maybe two or three times a year. And, you know, when you're flying, you're taking off from somewhere and you're going, obviously you're flying because you're trying to get somewhere. You want to go somewhere. You have a destination. And a lot of times I'll notice that on flights, the pilot will come over the intercom and he'll tell us what time we're getting into our destination. But he also at times has said, many times on flights, say, okay, we're going to be encountering choppy or turbulent air when we go over this state or whatever. And he'll say that, or maybe they'll come on and say, okay, fasten your seatbelts, get back in your seat. We're going to go through here in a couple minutes. We're going to go through some bumpy air. And I have yet to see on a flight when he says that, I've yet to hear the pilot say, oh, we're going to encounter some turbulence. We're going to turn back and go back to our origination. There'd be a lot of unhappy people on that plane. And I've yet to hear people on the plane, when they say that, ever say, oh, stop the plane. Let's turn around and let's go back. No, they know that part of getting to the destination at times is going through some choppy airspace and going through some turbulence, you know, and they're not bothered by it. I remember my standards have changed a little bit as God has spoke to my heart and made me realize, you know, I have to be an ambassador for him and in the office that I stand in. But early on when I would fly, man, I'd just find the most comfortable clothes I could find, throw my flip-flops on, a pair of baggy sweats and a t-shirt and go. Right? I mean, that's the way to travel right there. And oftentimes I would get bumped up to first class because of traveling and getting miles or if there was something available and get bumped up. And I'd be in first class. I'd be seeing people in suits and ties reading the Wall Street Journal and the USA Today, and I'm in my sweats and my flip-flops playing games on my iPad. I mean, that's just kind of who I am, you know, at the heart of me. That's just me. I'm trying to be something I'm not. Only reason I'm wearing this today is because I just want to represent Jesus. That's why. But as soon as I get home, man, get my sweats out or my shorts, I'm ready. And but anyways, and I would look when I would be on. I remember one flight, we went through some real choppy airspace. I'm like, I don't fly very much, but these people all look like they do. And so I would look to see what their reaction was. And man, some will just sleep right through the bumpy air. Some will just keep reading the paper. Some people just keep working on their computer. I'm like, they're not bothered by it. They must be seasoned. They must understand that part of getting to the destination at times means you got to go through some bumps and choppiness along the way. Well, I say all that to say this, that this morning will be no different. That there's a destination we're going to with this message, and it's going to be a soft landing. It's going to be a comforting landing. The place that we're going to end up today is going to be refreshing. It's going to bless you. It's going to comfort you. It's going to send you out of here thankful that you came today. Amen. But getting to that place might be a little bumpy at first. So bear with me. Don't throw on your parachute and jump out the window. We're not letting you go. We're going to stay here and get this done. Praise God. But no, seriously, where we're going today, you'll be thankful. So as we go through the bumpy spots, as we go through stuff that might cause you to look inward, that might cause you to examine your life, don't get down. Don't get discouraged because there's a purpose, because just like we have to go through that choppy air to get there. You know, when I fly to California, it seems like always over Colorado or somewhere, it starts to get real choppy. Well, if I want to get to California, I know I got to go through that, right? Well, I promise you, where we'll land today will bless you. It'll comfort you. It'll give peace to your mind. You'll walk out of here happy and so thankful that you came. So just trust me. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the last few weeks, we've been looking at some messages that really put the responsibility on us, don't they? We looked at growing up spiritually and how if you don't grow up spiritually and do what you're supposed to do and you stay a baby Christian, your life can suffer for it. We saw that you need to renew your mind, right? That to be transformed or to change, if you want change in your life, if you want better in your life, the responsibility is not on God. The responsibility is on the believer to renew their mind, to do what the Word of God says. We saw in the offering today, the Bible says you have to be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. And so we've looked at some of these messages, and we've showed that there's a scene that we have a lot of responsibility. And again, this might be the choppy and the bumpy part, because it might bring things to the surface. It might flush some things out that we don't want flushed out. It might put things square in our sights that show us and make us aware of some things. But praise God, we need to know. Just like G.I. Joe used to say, knowing is half the battle. That's what they used to say at the end of the cartoon that I used to watch. If you don't know some of these things that are hurting your life, how will you adjust them? How will you make a change? And so again, this is the choppy, the bumpy part, but it's for a purpose. Matthew 7 and verse 24. I'm going to fly through four different references here and get to where we need to go. Matthew 7 and verse 24, Josh. Matthew 7, 24. Now notice this real quick. We're going to go through this. We're not going to camp out very long in these places. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. There it is. Doer of the word. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. The Bible says you can be immune to the tests and the trials of life if you'll build your life on the right thing. If you're a doer of the word, you'll get tests and trials. You'll get the waves and the winds beating up against you, but you won't crumble. You'll be strong and you'll stand. But the Bible does say, and this is out of the mouth of Jesus, He said, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So people can have crashes in their life. People can have trouble in their life that they don't overcome, that they're taken out by. Why? They didn't do the word. The important thing that I'm seeing, again, it's starting to get choppy. Buckle up here today. Don't leave your seat. Don't go to the restroom. You got to be in your seat. The fastened seatbelt sign is on. It's getting choppy, but it's for a purpose. We're going somewhere this morning. And the Bible says, and great was the fall of it. You don't need to crumble in life. But notice whose responsibility it is. It's up to the hearer. Either you're going to hear it and do it, or you're going to hear it and balk at it and not do it and deceive yourselves. Go with me to Romans 6 and verse 23. Romans 6 and verse 23.
This is your captain speaking here. We're going to be fine.
Sorry. We're going to be going through some bumpy ride here. Romans 6 and verse 23. But you know why you're on that airplane? Because you trust that captain. Yeah. You know why you'll sit and go through the bumpy? Because you'll trust the captain and know that, hey, we're taking you somewhere good today. Yeah. Amen.
Praise God.
For the wages of sin. What is sin? Sin is disobedience to God. What is disobedience to God? Doing anything that is not His word. Anything outside of His word. The Bible says the wages or the payment of that is death. Not what God wants for you. And when it talks about death, it doesn't just mean your heart stopping. It means all the miseries that arise from it. The poverty, the sickness in your body, the torment in your mind, the problems just all surrounding and encompassing your life. The Bible says the wages of that is death. Well, guess whose choice it is to keep living in that lifestyle? It's not up to God whether or not you're going to keep doing it or not. It's up to you. So that's why we preach, get out of that. Not that God's angry with you and throwing you off to the side, but you're hurting yourself. Yeah. So there's two places where we see it matters what we do. Yeah. It matters. And it's important, especially in this day and age, in the body of Christ, where religion is running rampant that tells you you can live however you want, you can do whatever you want, that que sera, sera, what will ever be, will be. It's wrong. It's a lie. It's flat out against what the Word of God teaches. Go with me real quick to 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Hallelujah. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Wow! That tells you you have the legal right to overcome anything that happens in this world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are still in this world. That's good news. That ought to make you happy. You have a legal right to overcome anything thrown your way. Turmoil with family, turmoil with finances, turmoil in your body, turmoil in your job, turmoil in your mind. You have the right to overcome it because that's the stuff that happens in this world. We're overcomers. But the Bible goes on to say, this is the victory, or this is how you're going to walk that out. Even our, everybody say our or my, talking about you, your faith. Amen. How are you going to be a place from defeat to victory? By faith. Amen. Well, God is not going to miraculously swoop down and change your situation. He already did that by sending Jesus on the cross. That was Him swooping down and changing your situation. Him giving you the word was Him swooping in and saving your rear end. Stop looking to Him. Oh, God, do something, do something. He's saying, what more do I need to do for you, child? I sent you Jesus. I gave you the word. Cooperate with me and it'll all be good. Amen. And He says, you want victory in the world? You better be a faith person. Not a doubter, not an unbeliever, not a grumbler, not a griper, not a complainer. Someone that believes God in the face of circumstances. In the face of when all things in the world are hell's breaking loose in your life, you're believing God. It doesn't look like finances are coming, but you're believing God. It doesn't look like the health is coming, but you're believing God. That's how you overcome. That's the victory. God can't help you if you want to be a doubter. You want to be an unbeliever. You don't want to take Him at His word. What more can He do for you? Because He said, this is the victory. He's not going to change His word for you. It's etched in eternity. It's the word of God. It never changes. He says, you want victory? Here's how you do it. How merciful of Him to show us how. Thanks be to God. Well, that's three things that show us we have a part to play. Romans 8 and verse 14.
Good word.
Praise his name forevermore. Amen. We're still choppy, but we're coming out. We're coming out of it. Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the what? Spirit of God. How does God guide you and direct you in this earth? It is not your mind. It is not your flesh, which is circumstances, emotions. He doesn't guide you based on, well, I think that's good, or that looks good, or that really feels good. I think I'll go with that. People do that all the time and follow that all the time and get themselves into a heap of trouble. For as many as are led by the Spirit, if you're somebody that is going to endeavor to follow God, the leadings of God, which are always on a good path, a path of blessing, he's going to do it through the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He's not leading you through goosebumps. He's not leading you through tears. He's not leading you through circumstance or money or the outward and the news and everything. He's leading you by the Holy Ghost. And if you choose to say, you know what, I'm going to be governed by my feelings. I'm going to be governed by my emotions. I'm going to be governed by what somebody else's advice is. You could be setting yourself up, because if God's plan is this way and your emotions are taking you this way or someone's advice is taking you that way, what is waiting for you at the end of those paths? I know what's waiting for you at the end of God's path. It's called prosperity, peace, joy, blessing, victory, health, protection. Praise God. And so, if you're not led by the Spirit. So that's just four places. I could go on and on and on and on, but we need to get out of this choppy air. Before we have to pull out the barf bags, right? I've already got to pull them out. I did a sermon once for youth group, and you can do this in youth group, where I talked about where Jesus said in Revelation, if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of your mouth. I said, youth group kids, don't be a puke. That was the title of the sermon. Hallelujah. So we're getting away from the barf bags here this morning. So we saw that you have to be a doer of the word. You do. We saw that you can't live a life of sin and not expect to reap the consequences. We saw that if you don't use faith, you can't expect overcoming. And we saw that if you don't follow the Holy Spirit, you will not be on God's plan for your life. And you don't want anything but God's plan for your life. You know, basically what this choppy air is trying to show you is that you have a major responsibility in how your life turns out. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people are hoodwinked by the devil and are still in religion. Just waiting and waiting for God to do something. And God can't violate his word. He's put all those things in his word. He's basically told you through those verses, he said, do my word, right? Do my word, live a holy life, walk by faith, and follow the Holy Ghost, right? He says, if you'll do those things, good things will come your way. And a lot of people don't like the personal responsibility. And a lot of people, I hear it all the time. Oh, the devil's after me. No, you're just doing some things wrong. Now, this isn't all the time. But I'm saying, if you can say, you know, look at your life and this brings some things. Let me give you an example. Are you ready for an example?
Amen.
I've never had a brand new vehicle before. I'm talking brand new off the lot. Well, I had paid down so much of my other truck. And just so you know, to set a little bit of a backstory, I know in my heart that my vehicle is my traveling office. I put almost 30,000 miles a year driving to the churches and appointments and different things. I need a vehicle that's reliable. I'm carrying some pretty important stuff. When you're carrying the message of God for people, it's vital that I be here. It's vital that I'm there on time. And so I know I need a nicer vehicle, and I've always looked at it as a tool. And God said he'd meet all my needs. And I had paid down so much of my other vehicle that I was looking, and I had a desire to get a brand new one because and it's for the main reason is because I want something reliable that I know is going to get me to church, get me to appointments every single time on time, right? And I know things can happen, but they're less likely to happen in a brand new vehicle. And so I had paid down, and I had found a truck that was this was in January. It was a leftover 2015, brand new, and I really liked it. And I found the price out. And because it was a 2015 leftover, they wanted to just get rid of it because all Ford's new trucks were coming in the 16s and they wanted to get the 15s gone. So they had jacked up the rebates on them. I had talked to them to get them to sell it to me for invoice, actually lower than what a lower price than what friends and family actually get. They showed me the prices, and I called the dealer that I know that has no skin in the game. I said, is this the real price? He said, oh yeah, that's the invoice. That's what they paid for it. They're not making a penny. Now, they get kickbacks and stuff, but pay an invoice, paying exactly what they paid for it, and the rebates, and then marked with my trade-in, I was able to get into something that was actually a level higher than the truck I just had, and it had all the bells and whistles. Bells and whistles of a truck that I really don't care about a truck having. You know, all the electronics, the leather seats, the moonroof. I don't need that stuff. I don't really care about it, but it had it, and it was actually cheaper than a brand new 2016 that was a level down because the 16s had just come out. So this was a huge blessing. And with my trade-in, my monthly payment was actually going to be about $150 less than the truck I just traded in with over 100,000 miles on it. So God blessed me. But, oh mercy, where's the stair climbers? We need to get the butts out of here, right? That's what a stair climber does. It trims up your butts. Well, there's going to be a big old butt here this morning. But Pastor Mike, on May 2nd, which was a Monday, you'll remember. That was a joke. You probably don't. But I'm telling you, it was a Monday. It was the day after opening day of turkey season, which was a Sunday, May 1st. So May 2nd, I went hunting. And it was downpouring when I woke up. Probably should have stayed home. Probably should have stayed home. Actually, I know I should have stayed home. And so I went to my spot, and I was going to go sit out in a field because turkeys like to go to fields when it rains. And I was going to go sit in fields. And I got there about 4:45 because I had to walk up a huge field. When you drive across the creek that's about 15 yards, 20 yards wide. Drove across it, parked my truck on the other side in a cut cornfield. Walked up these back fields. Sat there from about 4:45 to about 7 in the morning, and it didn't, if you remember that Monday, it downpoured, didn't stop where I was. Well, I didn't get a turkey. I had four jakes, which are smaller, you know, young turkeys come by. I didn't want to shoot them, and I left to go to get him ready to take him to school. I enjoy taking him to school, and I wanted to get cleaned up and get back out and dried off. I was soaked. And so when I got out, I had rain pants over my regular rain pants, and I was walking through the field in the mud, and they got really muddy. And so I took those off, and I went to the creek to wipe them off. And I'm looking at the creek. I'm like, wow, that looks higher. And that looks like it's moving a lot faster than it was before. And I washed my stuff off in them. And inside, my heart said, don't do this. Don't do this. And I thought, I can make this. I got four-wheel drive. So I went through my pants in the truck, got in the truck. Shoved that baby into four-wheel drive, looked at the creek again before I moved in my heart. Had that check. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, had a check. I can do this. I got four-wheel drive. I've crossed this thing many times. I got about three-fourths of the way across, and my truck stopped, and water had sucked into the engine. Now, I didn't realize it at the time because I'm sitting there trying to get the thing started. I look over to my left, and the water's hitting my window. It's up to the window. And I'm in it, and so I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then water starts pouring in the bottom and starts to fill up in my truck. Oh, what am I going to do? Now, I never really was in danger because it didn't go all the way over top of the truck. But I couldn't get out. The door was locked, and the windows wouldn't work with the electronics. I'm like, I'm really going to have to bust through my window to get out of here. I'm like, and if I can't do it, I'm going to have to shoot the window out. And you know how loud that would be? And so I'm sitting there, and the water is up to the window, and I can't get it open. So I called, I'm like, I'm stuck here. I'm in the middle of this creek. It had risen so much. And I'm sitting there in my first brand new vehicle I've ever had, only a couple months old, and I'm watching that thing fill up with water. And I'm like, this thing's shot. I know it. It's over. And finally, the window went down. Thank God I didn't have to bust out. And I jumped out of the water. I know this doesn't mean much because of my height. See, the time I make fun of myself for my height, Jim Walker's not even here to hear it. I'm always making fun of him, so please tell him. He has no reason to get me back now. Let him know. Relay the message. Okay. I jumped out of the water to tell you how high it was. It was up to here on me in the creek. And there my truck sat, and I waded out of the water soaking wet. And it sat there another 45 minutes. And what a to-do. They had the bus dive fire department there. They had people in scuba gear. I think these guys were just excited to do something because they had to go under the water to hook my truck up. They pulled it out. I got it up on the flatbed. You should have seen the water come pouring out of this thing. It had been in the water probably now for about an hour and 15 minutes. There it was, my brand new truck that God had blessed me with. And they took it away, and I said, well, they said, Ben, you better hope that they total this thing, because if they total it, you'll get pretty much your value back, and just you can go get a new one. Well, I knew in my heart they were not going to total this thing because the truck was so brand new that the damages had to reach a certain amount. And they were telling me, oh, yeah, flooded trucks, they flooded vehicles, they just total them. Well, they didn't total it. And so they said to me, we'll fix it. My insurance was going to pay to fix it. But they said, that, and they'll get back to me, well, I talked to four different mechanics that I can trust, that I know will not steer me the wrong way. And they all told me the exact same thing. They said, you might have this truck, and it'll be perfect for the life of it. Or you could have issue after issue. We just don't know with water damage. Well, I can't afford with what I do, not that I'm important, but what I'm doing is important. What I'm bringing to people is important. I can't afford to be on a way to a wedding to do for somebody. No bride on planet anywhere is going to understand my truck broke down. I can't hear from heaven and be on the way to church and have a truck break down. I can't afford to do that. They said, well, you never know. Well, I said, my goodness, so what are my options? They said, well, the only way you'll get any kind of even play out of your money is if you drive the thing to 150 to 200,000 miles, because then by the time you go to trade it in, the flood won't even matter because the life of the truck has been proven out. They said, if you trade it now, you're going to take a massive hit. If you trade it in 4 or 5 years, which I normally would, when it got up around 100,000 miles, which would actually be about 3 years for how much as I drive, when I go to trade in, you're going to take a massive hit. You'll never get what you had for. Total hit talking between $10,000 and $15,000 if I want to get into another vehicle. I said, Lord, what do I do? Because I think I'm going to start following God. See, devil didn't do that to me. Devil wasn't after me, and oh, why does this happen to me? It happened because I was an idiot. I did not follow the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost, so I prayed. I said, Lord, what do I do? Because it might not cost me that much up front, but over the life of a loan, the monthly payment's going to shoot way up. Everything I paid down on the other one was for nothing in the natural. And I had in my heart, do not take this truck back. I had it clear as day in my spirit. Do not take this truck back. I said, okay, Lord, that only means one thing then. I'm going to get in faith about this, and I'm going to believe all the money will be made up for it. And I'm going to tell you more as we go along. And I eventually got into a truck. I got into a lesser truck. I didn't have it on my heart. You know, it'll come back another day. And I'm not, you'll see, it's a nice truck. Don't feel bad for me. I'm not saying that. But where I was, I cost myself. And maybe, and I'll talk a little bit more about, maybe through these verses, where Jesus says, if you don't do the word, your life will crumble. Or if you don't follow the Holy Ghost, you won't be on his plan. Or maybe you see, I mean, I've been living outside the boundaries of the word of God and the wages of that. Maybe you see that. Maybe you see, I've not been a faith person. I haven't believed God for nothing. And that's why I'm not overcoming. Maybe those things have come to surface this morning in the last couple weeks. Well, here's what I want to say now. Guess what? If it has, we're all here this morning. We're all right here this morning. The sun is going to come up tomorrow. You will have a choice. Which path am I going to go forward on? The constant regret, the constant condemnation, the constant beating myself up. Am I going to go that route? Or am I going to do what the Bible says and go forward in freedom and expectation that my days ahead are going to be better than they've ever been before, regardless of what you might have even done to yourself to put you in the situation you're in? Because you'll see today, before we close, that when you cause yourself to suffer, you don't have to stay there. In fact, God will still pull you up out of that thing and exalt you to a place better than you were before, even if you jacked it up. That's how good God is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. Go with me to Romans 8 and verse 1. We are out of the choppy land. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. We will be approaching our destination. Praise God. You can hear the flight gear, the wheels coming out from the bottom. We're about to have a soft landing. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is, therefore, now. Everybody say now. You know what now means? Right now. Right now. There is therefore now no. Everybody say no. You know what no means? That means nothing. There is no condemnation. no condemnation. When? When is there no condemnation? Now. How much condemnation? None. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God says, condemnation, beating yourself up. How do you know if you're in condemnation? Let me tell you. If you have continued regret over something in your past, you're living in condemnation. If you're constantly beating yourself up, you're no good, and this and that, you're in condemnation. If you constantly are just rehashing over and over and over and over again in your head all the bad things that you've done, how worthless you are, and all the wrong things, you are in condemnation. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand those things. I don't have to. All I have to understand is what the word N-O means. It means no condemnation. That means every single thing in your head that you're hammering yourself about, beating yourself up, falls into place of no condemnation. That means whatever you've done in a marriage, whatever you've done with your children, whatever you've done financially, whatever you've done with a business, whatever you've done with a friend, a family member, anything that you've messed up, made wrong, left a trail of destruction, hurt people, done things wrong, wish you could have done this better in your marriage, wish you could have done that better with your kids, it all falls under the big fat circle of no. Aren't you glad? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And if you still have regrets and are constantly thinking of I wish or what if you're down on yourself, you are still in condemnation. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, God's word says you're not to be there. People of faith don't wallow around in condemnation. Faith people don't wallow. If God says there's no condemnation, well, guess what? If you decide to step into and live in condemnation, you are what? Not doing the word of God. What does the Bible say about not doing the word of God? A crumble, a fall. You'll never be a faith giant in condemnation. You'll never be able to hear from heaven like you're supposed to if you're wallowing in condemnation. I don't know if you heard a recent story. It's sad. A young NBA player was just shot and killed yesterday, I believe it was. He was in the wrong place where he shouldn't have been. It's sad. Preliminary reports tell that he was trying to beat down the door of an former acquaintance. Now, whether or not he was doing that to, because maybe it was an ex-girlfriend or someone he was mad at, or he just was locked out and just had, maybe he was under the influence of something and he's just trying to get, whatever it was, he was beating down the wrong door. And the person inside thought an intruder was coming, and you would, shot and killed him. He was in the wrong place, and it cost him. When Christians stay in condemnation, it will cost you. Your faith will swirl right down the toilet. You will not hear from heaven. You will be so focused on yourself and your wrongdoings that God will never be able to take you to where He wants to take you. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he became so skilled at not beating himself up that God was able to use him. God would have never been able to do what he did with Paul if he didn't master this technique of no condemnation. Go to me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. When you cost $10,000 to $15,000, I know money's not the most important, but some things, people struggle with money, and I've struggled in other areas. But when you cost yourself that, you talk about thoughts of condemnation. You talk about thoughts of defeat and feeling like you're absolutely worthless and how could you do that? How do you miss God? How do you? I mean, I flat out missed God on May 2nd and it cost me and my family big time. And I'm not, and I think it's okay to admit that to you. Because I'll tell you what, if you thought I was perfect, my God, what have you been thinking? Oh, I got to go walk by faith. I got to keep my eyes in the right places. I got to say the right things. I got to get in the Word just as much as you do. Hallelujah. And I flat out miss God in my haste. Oh, man, my goodness, but no regrets anymore. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do count myself that I apprehended. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If you stay in condemnation, it's going to hold you. It's like quicksand. The plan of God is always forward. It's always ahead of you. And the devil is always out in front of you to keep you out of it. So there's a reaching and there's a pressing, the Bible says. There's a hindrance to try to break through those things, an overcoming, so to speak. Well, it's hard to overcome and power something when you're stuck in quicksand and can't move. Condemnation will hold you in your place and keep you from going to the destination that God has for you. God has an amazing future for you that you'll never get to until you let go of the things of yesterday. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. You say, well, what's the big deal? He was an apostle. He probably never did anything wrong. Wrong. He was Saul of Tarsus before God changed his name to Paul, and he was a murderer of Christians. The Bible said he wreaked havoc on the church, carried out slaughter and murder, stood there and held the coats and consented to the people that stoned Stephen. They stoned a Christian to death, and he stood there giving approval, saying, yep, do it. He would drag men and women out of their homes in front of their children, and the Bible said he would persuade them to blaspheme the name of Jesus through torture. This is the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, that God transformed and radically changed his life. He would constrain Christians to get them to say, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in Jesus. He would do awful things to them to make them say, yes, I don't believe. That was the Apostle Paul. And he goes on to be used mightily more than anybody besides Jesus. Gives us the Pauline revelations, the Paul revelations about righteousness and the authority of the believer and all these things that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. Paul got those. Paul didn't go to Bible school. Jesus met with Paul personally. Paul said, I didn't learn this from any man, but face to face with Jesus. I'll tell you what, that's pretty good. Learned all that he learned. And he said, I forget those things which are behind. Why? What? Let me just say it this way. What does God want to do for your life if you'll forget? If you won't hold yourself to the things you did of yesterday, what does God want to do for your life? He wants to catapult you into the future. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't know about that. I understand if people have tests and trials and go through tough things, but I put myself here. You've made me see in the Word that for years I've not been doing it God's way. You showed me in the Word for years that I've been doing it my own way and living my own way, and I'm in where I'm at because of myself. So stinking what? What is your point? The Word trumps those stupid thoughts and feelings that you're having. Those thoughts and feelings might be 100% true and real, but the Word still trumps them. Go with me to John chapter 18 and verse 15. John chapter 18. Well, if you even have one shred of condemnation, well, I just wish I'd have done this better with my children or this better in my marriage. Stop it. There's no condemnation. There's no room for it. We have a chair at home that I'll sit with, and it really only fits me and one of the other kids. But whenever I'm with one kid, the other kid wants to climb up there. I'm like, Buddy or Abby, there's just no room. You need to sit over here. And they don't care. And they try to make room, and guess what? It becomes uncomfortable. There's not any room for any condemnation. And if you let any condemnation in, it's going to continue to be uncomfortable for you. John 18, and verse 15. Just renew your mind to the Word and accept what He said. Now notice this. Now this is when Jesus, the night of Jesus, when He was going to be betrayed and taken away to get ready for His death. Remember Jesus told Peter, He said, when the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I will never deny. I'll die with you. Jesus said, oh, when you hear the rooster crow, you're going to have denied that you even knew me three times. Well, let's see it. And Simon Peter followed Jesus. So did another disciple. The disciples known unto the high priest. And went in with Jesus to the palace of the high priest. So they have Jesus captive. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out with the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest. And spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter. If you study this out, this was a young girl. Are you not one of this man's disciples? A little girl asks him. Now, this is all turmoil. There's chaos going on. Remember, Jesus is taken captive, so tensions are high. Yeah. And a little girl says to Peter, I've known you. You've been with Jesus before. What did he say? Not me. That's one. Not me. Jesus changed his life. Yeah. He went with Jesus for 3.5 years, was so close to Jesus. And a little girl, he says, I don't know him. I don't know him. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, verse 18. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him. Now see this, picture the drama that's going on here. Jesus said, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said it, anything. He's basically said, I've made clear what I've done. He was perfect. Why do you ask me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. Now notice this. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by, my God, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. You're Jesus. Getting slapped around for being perfect, doing nothing wrong. He says, answers the high priest. So he's saying, you're going to answer me that way? Jesus answered him and said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, or tell me what the evil is. I've only told you the truth. But if I have spoken well, why do you smite me, or why do you hit me? Now Annas had set him bound unto Caiaphas, who's the high priest. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, so he's watching this whole thing go on. They said therefore unto him, are you not one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I'm not. Twice now he denies Jesus. He said, I am not. Verse 26. Is that where we're at? Yeah. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, I saw you in the garden with him. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed, right? The rooster crowed. Jesus said, when the rooster crows, 3 times you'll have to deny me. It came to pass. Now, you don't see in this version of it, in one of the other Gospels, you see Peter realize when the rooster crowed, he realized, my God, what have I done? And he went and he wept and he wept and he was filled with remorse. He was filled with regret. He was filled with I wish. He was filled with what if I could only. I would love, and there's many things in my life, this was just the most recent hiccup. I would love to go back to the bank that day, on the bank of that creek, and say, okay, Lord, you're telling me not to do this. I'm just going to wait for it to subside and not have to go through financially what we had to go through because of my idioticness. There's things in my past that were far greater than money that I wish I could go back, but I can't. Hallelujah. And you know, Peter was filled with those feelings, right? Well, let's see what Jesus thought of those. Go with me to John 21. We're not too far from being done here. This is good, though. John 21, in verse 14. Now, so Jesus is taken away. Peter's filled with remorse and regret. He spent 3.5 years ministering with Jesus. Now he feels like worthless. He's not any good. He's done things wrong. Have you ever felt that? Oh, if I could have only. Oh, I wish. You got to stop that. That's what we're trying to help you with today. And so Jesus has now died on the cross. And he's risen from the dead. So the time Peter denies him to the time Jesus is now encountering Peter is a very short space and time. Very short space and time. It says, now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus pulls Peter aside. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Saying, more than these other disciples? He said to him, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And Peter was grieved now because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You knowest that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, there's a couple different applications here. The one that we've looked at before is how important it is to Jesus that the sheep are fed. He said to Peter, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, where you're at today is where you ought to be next week. It's where you ought to be Wednesday. God thinks it's important that you are fed. He said, Peter, if you love me, the way you can prove it is by making sure my sheep are fed. How? By the sowing of the word, the food of the word. Amen. But there's another application here. This was the restoration of Peter. Peter, obviously, like anybody, would feel like, my time in ministry is over. My life going forward, doing anything for Jesus, is over with. I've denied the Master, the Savior. I denied him. And I love what Jesus said. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. What was he saying to Peter? Peter, you're a feeder. Peter, you're not done yet. Peter, it's not over for you yet. He kept hammering the point in. You're not done, son. It's not over yet. And you know what Peter's thinking? Yeah, but doesn't matter. It's not over for you yet, Peter. The best actually was still yet to come for Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come for you. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible. Because your future looks way better than anything up to this point. If you'll do it His way. Hallelujah. Jesus is the solution for when we screw up. We don't need Him if we don't screw up. What do we need Him for? If we're perfect, we need Him because we're not. Peter renewed his mind to what I'm talking about today. And guess what? Went on and changed the world. What does God want to do for you if you'll forget? If you'll walk out of here saying today, in light of the word, never did that. I was never that dumb. I never messed that up. Because that's what God says you can have the freedom of. Paul said, I never harmed a person. What are you talking about, Paul? You killed people. No, not in Jesus I didn't. It's been wiped away. See, go with me to 1 John 1 and verse 9. We'll pull it up here. But I want to say this. Peter renewed his mind to this, obviously, because why? He went on and fed the sheep. Tore it up. But you know who didn't renew his mind to the forgiveness? It was Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, right? And caused Jesus to be, and actually betrayed him with a kiss. Was so sweet to him on the surface, but behind the scenes, he was plotting. That's dirty. I'll tell you what, don't be a Judas. Oh, you're sweet to people on the surface, and you bash them in private. You're a Judas. You're a Judas. We ought to not backstab and backbite and talk about people like that. That's what Judas did. And he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Well, when he did that, you better believe there'd be regret. So much so, what did he do? He killed himself. The condemnation, remember, you hang out in the wrong place, the wrong things will come your way. But Peter hung out in the light of the word, and his life was transformed. He did the same thing that Judas did. They both denied Jesus and betrayed him. Judas's fate could have been the same as Peter. And Peter's fate could have been the same as Judas. But Peter renewed his mind to the word. I can't do this for you. I can only tell you that I'm a pastor who's up here helping to change people's lives, get them the word, that I have a past laundry list full of mess ups and screw ups, yet I'm here. Because my mind is renewed to what Jesus has said. I'm not focused on me and who I used to be and my mistakes. 1 John 1 and verse 9. We're almost done, I promise. 1 John 1 and verse 9. God wants to help you so much. He says, if we confess our sins, what are our sins? Our wrongdoings. The not doing the word, the not following the Holy Ghost, the not living by faith, right? The wages of sin and all those things and not building life on the rock. If we confess those sins, all sin is disobeying God. If we confess them, He is faithful and just. Aren't you glad? To forgive us our sins. Now notice this. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first suit I ever wore to church was at the Jamestown Church. And I remember it was black. And I had a black and a blue and a white colored tie. I still wear it sometimes. I really like that tie. And I was like, wow, wearing a suit. Oh, I had never done that before. Like, what in the world? I think I looked good. I thought back then I was happy with what I was wearing, you know, and I went to dinner afterwards. And I spilled something on that tie. And I was heartbroken because there was a huge blemish on that thing. I'll tell you, if I ever go to eat with you and I keep my coat on, it's not because I'm in a hurry. It's because I don't want a dry cleaning bill for my suits and stuff. And so I'm a messy eater. It's just true. I think that's where Abby probably gets it. And she is the messiest besides her daddy. And I had a big old blemish. It was a grease stain. And I took that to the dry cleaners. I said, I was devastated. It was like my first tie. I was excited about it. Can you get this out? Oh, I didn't take care of that. I don't know about that. I got that tie back, and I inspected that thing up and down. Couldn't find it. The blemish had been removed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, if you'll repent to Jesus, even if you screwed it up, if you're repenting, it's because you screwed up. He says, when you screw up, if you repent to him, he said, I'll wash you clean. And I look at that tie now, and it's like that stain was never even there. Never even there. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Stop letting the devil tell you, yeah, but your situation is worse and you did so. Nope. It's an all problem again. James 1 and verse 2, this will help you. I'm going to fly right through these. It's 11:23. I promise you'll be out of here by 11:30. Mark my words. James 1 and verse 2. But this is important to tell people because God wants to take people to a higher level, but they got to get past this first. God would have never been able to use Paul if he didn't forget, if he didn't go forward. He said, my brethren, verse 2, count it joy when who falls? You. That diverse temptation means various tests or trials. The Bible says when you fall, when you do the falling, the Bible says you can count it joy. You want to know why we can count it joy? Because there was a guy named Jesus, and he came to help me when I would fall, when I would stumble, when I would trip up, when I would fall, praise God. You know, I was thinking of this truck thing. I'm like, my gosh, 10 to 15 grand over the course of a new loan. But the Spirit of God was leading me to do it. I knew I was to get another one that would be reliable. And I thought, but Lord, I missed it. Now I'm going to have to struggle. And he said, what does my word say? I said, your word says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs. Does he say, my God shall supply all my needs according to whether or not you did everything right or not? Nope, that's not what it says. It says, my God will supply all my needs because of his riches and glory. The reason he'll supply my needs is because Jesus did everything right. Not because I did everything right, but because Jesus did everything right. He's there to pick us up when we fall. And I'll tell you, I got on my face and I said, Lord, I should know better by now. I know the voice of the Holy Ghost. In my haste and in my hurry and in my lack of wisdom, I went against what you were telling me in my heart. I'm sorry. I took a blessing that you gave me. I was so careless with it. And now it's gonna cost us. I apologize and I ask you to forgive me. From that point on, from when I got up from that prayer, the feeling bad has to stop. The beating myself up has to stop. The regret and the condemnation has to stop if I'm gonna do it in the Word. And so now when a payment will come or a thought will come into my head, I say, nope, God took care of that, and all the money that I need is gonna come. See, God will take you. When you repent, okay, the Bible says in Isaiah 43, he says, I am he who blots out thy sins and thy transgressions for my sake, but he says, I will not remember your sins. That means I disobeyed the Holy Ghost, drove my truck, messed it up, I sinned. When I say, Father, I'm so sorry, I missed you, missed it on that. And if I go back to him 10 minutes later, oh, Father, I'm so sorry what I did in my truck, he's going to say, what are you talking about? He said, I will not remember your sins. Hallelujah. You say, well, I can't stop the thoughts from coming. No, you can't, but you can answer the thoughts with right thoughts. I can't stop the thought from coming of what an idiot and what a screw up and how dumb could you be and how it cost, but I can answer it with, yeah, but you know what? All the money will come. Yeah. See, because now God doesn't look at me and say, you failure. He looks at his child in a financial thing and says, I'm going to get them out of that. I'm going to, through their faith, get them all the money they need, and all the money will come, and we won't miss a beat, we won't struggle, we won't nothing. Say, yeah, but you did it. Doesn't matter. That's what Jesus is for. Hallelujah. And it'll all come. Every single penny will come, and I'll be better than I ever have been before. I'll get double for my trouble. You watch. It'll happen. Why? Because I choose to believe Jesus. I choose to see. He looks at me now, not as someone, oh, that dumb kid of mine didn't follow the Holy Ghost. He sees that I repented. Now he doesn't even know why I'm struggling, because he can't remember it. He's bound by his word. And until you renew your mind to that fact, oh, you'll never be taken to where you need to go. Doesn't the Bible say in Romans 12, 2, be transformed by renewing your mind? You got to renew your mind that you've never missed it, that God's got a plan for you. Say, yeah, but what about the thoughts? Answer the thoughts with the word. Yeah, but I did this. Answer the thoughts. Nope, that wasn't me, devil. I'm a new creation in Christ. That blemish has been gone. It's taken care of. You can hang on to that devil if you want, but I'm not. Praise God. And Mark 11, 23, and we'll close with this. I'll even shut my Bible to prove it. Woo! Oh, God wants to help people. God wants to help people. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have. That's one of the best verses ever on faith. The Bible says you'll have what you say. Yeah. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's another amazing verse on faith. The Bible in verse 23 says that your faith can have what it says and your faith can get you what you pray. That's awesome. But verse 25 says this. And that means it's not done yet. The thought's not done. When you stand praying, what do you mean praying? Stand praying. Stand in that place of confessing what you want. Praying for what you want. If you have aught anything against anybody, forgive them, right? When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught or anything against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. The Bible says for your faith to work, for your words and your prayers to work, you can't have unforgiveness in your life. Right, yeah. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You yourself are an any. Right. If you won't forgive yourself, yeah, if any has aught against any, it's easy for me to forgive others. The struggle's been forgiven myself. Yeah. I've never had a problem forgiving other people. It's forgiven myself. Well, the Bible says my faith won't work. Right. If I hold myself to a different set of standards than I hold everybody else, because if someone else screws up and messes up, I tell them so sweetly, ask for forgiveness. God will wipe it away and he'll help you. Yeah. But for me, I'm like, oh, how could you do that? You're an idiot and you're screwing everything up and now you're really in trouble and all that. That's not what I would say to anybody because that's not the Bible.
That's right.
Remember the story? And I was counseling myself in a tree stand. Yeah. And I was wallowing in condemnation and beating myself up. And the Spirit of God said to me, is that how you counsel other people? Counsel yourself like you would counsel other people. Now, this is where you're going to think your pastor's nuts. I said, fine. Out loud, I started talking to myself in the tree stand. I said, welcome to meet you, Mike. Glad you're here today. What's the problem? And then I went on and said, this is what I've done. This is what I'm feeling. Oh, and then I ministered to myself like I would as if somebody else was sitting across from me. And I said, it's okay. It's going to be okay. God will help you. God's bigger than that. God's better. God's bigger than your screw-ups. God's bigger than your failures. He's bigger than your mess ups. Absolutely, he is. And I started telling myself that. You just need to forgive yourself. You need to let yourself go. You need to repent and just receive what God's given you. And that's what you all need to do to yourself. And go forward as if you never did it wrong. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word this morning. We're so thankful. And by the way, my iPad says 11:30. Just so you know. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've given to us, for all that you've provided for us. Lord, we're failures and screw-ups without you, but Lord, I don't see myself through the eyes of myself. I see myself through the eyes of you, through the eyes of the Word. And Lord, we're the righteousness of God. Jesus, you came because we fail, because we mess up, but we can count it joy because there's a Savior, there is a Redeemer who's there to pull us out, to help us, to set us back on top. Lord, you didn't just put Peter in a better position or back to where he was. You catapulted him to the head and the front of the church during that time, and he changed thousands of lives. Father, you didn't just put Paul back in a place of life. No, you set him at the forefront. Lord, you want to take what we've done and things we've got ourselves in. We're all here right now. We're all going to wake up tomorrow. The sun's going to come up and we're going to go forward in life. We're going to go in one of two directions. And Father, I choose forward with you. I choose the path of the Word, which says, I don't have to live in the past. I thank you for forgiving me, Father. But not only forgiving me, for when I've messed up and put myself in a bad situation, after I've repented, I thank you that you have pulled me out and set me in a better position than I ever was even before I screwed up. And Lord, I don't know how that's possible except that you're God and that's what you do. You're God and you're wonderful. So Father, we love you this morning. We honor you and magnify you. We praise you and glorify you. We thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for all that you've given. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. Before we go forward, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I won't have you come forward or say anything or stand up. But everybody in here and people that are listening by live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. So how can you be so sure? Because the Bible says that if I believe in Jesus, I will not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus here this morning, if you believe he died and rose again, you don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to give any money. It's not about your good deeds outweighing your bad or your church attendance. If you can say, I do believe in Jesus, Pastor Mike, I believe he died and rose again, then my God, you are qualified and you're a candidate for salvation. You don't have to jump through a religious hoop to get God to accept you. That's one of the misconceptions about him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're here and you can say, I want to receive Jesus this morning, be forgiven of all my sins, know that I'm going to heaven, and start this amazing life with a Father who wants to bless me and help me in every area of my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just slip your hand up in the air? Nobody's looking around. I see those hands. You can put them down. Anybody else? We don't want to, I'm not trying to rush this, but sometimes people are shy maybe, and it takes a little bit. Is there anybody else in this service? You've never done this, and you say, I want to receive Jesus this morning. Would you just lift your hand up and put it right back down? Not trying to embarrass anybody. Anybody at all. Anybody else? Father, we had a few hands, and sometimes people don't raise their hand because maybe they're shy. So, Father, I thank you that if there are people in here that didn't raise their hand, or if there are people listening by live stream that I can't see or in the archives in the future, Father, I thank you. They can jump in on this prayer with us. The Bible says the last thing you need to do is call on his name. So I'm going to help you call on his name. We're going to pray a prayer this morning. Everybody in the church is going to lift their voice at once, so you will not be the only one saying anything. But go ahead and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross,
for
my sins.
I believe
that you rose again,
from the dead.
Come into my heart.
Thank you for saving
me. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you rush out of here, if you prayed that for the first time and maybe you didn't raise your hand, or if you're listening by live stream, please let me know. I want to get you some things. But the next step is to plant yourself in a Bible teaching church. Doesn't have to be here, but I can promise you we're sticking with the Bible here. Plant yourself in a Bible teaching church that will tell you God's word. Don't forget Wednesday service, and don't forget the picnic sign up. You are dismissed. Parents, please go back and get your kids. Hallelujah. You're dismissed.